Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinakalapo kondwela, lelo eka tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kuvutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu wake, nimaputo abale nimaputo.
Welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio Perspectives. This is June the 21st. It's amazing how days are flying, Roger, and you already reached halfway.
Yeah. And I know. The time on our switchboard is so different. On my switchboard is so different from the normal time. So sometimes, time has gone.
Fine. I understand. Well, today we are very privileged and we're going to have a great discussion here with a gallant Zambian. Everybody listening, welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Nathan Nkama from Dallas, Texas, and I trust that you will stay with us as we go on our discussion here. And we are very privileged to host Councillor Margaret Mwilabuta. She is one of the first Zambians, I believe, to have a major breakthrough into the Zambia, into the British political system. And I trust that as we talk to her, I hope she's not, she was telling me she's having technical problems with her phone. It keeps dropping and coming, but when she comes back in, we shall get into it straight away. Ango Daniel Chisewe, good morning.
Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
Doing okay. How are things in Pennsylvania?
Things are good and it's overcast here in Pennsylvania. But otherwise, okay. We are okay.
That's great. We're looking forward to this discussion with Margaret. And yes. I'm sure she's getting ready to call back in.
Yes.
I hope she told me that, well, she was having a little bit of technical challenges here and there, but we will see what happens here. She won a councillor's seat in a place called North Richmond in London, and we want to hear from her experience and what is going on with her. Okay. She has called back in, and let's get back into it. Joining us from the great city of London is Councillor Margaret Mwilabuta, who has recently been elected as a councillor for the North Richmond area. Councillor Abuta, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to come on the program.
You are welcome. Are we okay with the technicalities and everything?
Yes, we are fine. We should be fine.
If we have a problem, we'll try to find a way to connect you back.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, to our listeners, Councillor Margaret Mwilabuta won an election, a councillor's seat in an area called Richmond Ward. Which is part of the London, the greater city of London. Well, Margaret, let me begin by saying congratulations. And what made you decide to do this?
Well, it was also a surprise for me and my family. I never really thought that I would get into the British political system. But I used to help out. I was part of the Conservative Party, and I'd help out with what I can. You know, in this country, the voluntary sector is really quite big, so a lot of organizations do require people to volunteer their services. So that was part of my, one of the things that I did in terms of trying to help out the community and also for myself, being part of something that I believed in. So I did volunteer. I used to do a lot of things with the Conservative Party. I would go to the functions. I would go to any talks or interviews the MP would give concerning the ward where I live or the borough itself. So I was interested in that. And I would help out with canvassing and election time. For example, we had a by-election about 2 years ago, and I helped out with that, and when Boris Johnson was running as London Mayor, I did some canvassing in Richmond by the train station on the day of the elections, urging people to go and vote. But then at that time, I didn't know that I was doing something that was in my destiny. So it was interesting.
So how did your husband and your family respond to that decision when you share with us that moment when you had that conversation with your husband to say you were going to contest this seat?
Well, initially I didn't tell him anything. I received a letter, like most residents do, from the MP saying that the council candidates were going to be nominated. So if you're interested in putting your name forward, please do it, and then they would select people to go for interviews. I didn't do it. I just looked at the letter, and I thought, oh, this would be interesting. But then I left it, and a week later, I went to one of the functions that we had and in our area with the Conservative Party, and one of the people who works in the office, because I knew most of them, I said, oh, have you selected your councillor candidates already? So he said, no, there's actually a meeting this Tuesday. That was a Friday. So the following Tuesday, he said, there's a meeting coming up, and some of the existing councillors will be there as well as people who are interested. So it would be good for you to come and listen, and the MP is coming to give a talk about what it takes. So I thought that was a really good idea, and I went, and I just stood right at the back when the MP, he's a good friend of mine, he walked in, he said to me, oh, I didn't know you'd be interested to be a councillor. So I said, I didn't know either. I just want to hear what it involves. So I'm just here to get to know, and then we'll see. And he was like, well, it would be fantastic for you. I mean, the opportunity is there. So I left it. I listened to the talk, and then I went back home. And then I told my husband, I said, oh, actually, I'm interested in putting my name forward to be a councillor, a candidate councillor. And he was like, why would you do that? So I said to him, well, because we're always talking about issues in the living room or in the car or something we see that needs to be done or maybe something we always think could be done differently. We always have political debates. So I said it would be interesting for me to be part of it and make a difference rather than talking about things just in the living room. interesting.
I like that thought pattern or perception, Roger, where basically that's what most of us end up doing. We just talk about these things in the living room and, you know, it ends up there. And I know you've got family in Zambia. At what stage did you let Dad know about this and what was his response?
My dad was really excited when I told him because he had also been in a lot of leadership things. So he was one of the first people I told. I didn't tell him initially when I was going for the interviews, especially the first one, because the first interview was in front of a panel. And that was called an approval interview where they had to approve me to carry my name forward. So for me, that was, I just took it like, okay, I'm going along. And I went to this interview, and while I was in the interview, I thought, this actually is serious business. I'm in front of a panel that want to know about me and approve me for something. Who wouldn't want to get approved anyway, rather than it ends there? So I put my best foot forward, and as they say, and really did the interview, gave all the proper answers in an eloquent way, and of course based some of my answers as well on my mom's achievements, my dad, and a little bit on my grandfather as well. So I did that interview, and I believe that's when I went back home and I told my dad, and he was really excited. He was really happy. He was happy for me, and he said, you know what, going forward, no matter what happens, the important step was to go for the interview and to apply. That already is a victory for you, because you've made a step out of your comfort zone and gone for something, you know, that is big, and you don't know where it will lead to. So I was really interested. At that point, I actually forgot that my dad was actually a counselor as well back home in Zambia, in Kasama, but he never said anything. He just, you know, he just wanted it to be about me. Yeah, and he kept encouraging me and saying, you know, the most important thing going forward, don't make it about you. It's about the team and the community and the people you're working with. Yeah.
That's amazing. So when that is said and done, how do you know that you've been selected? They write a letter to you, or they call you to inform you? How is it done?
They call you to inform you that you've been approved by the panel, and then you are called for an interview. Now, where they will select the candidate they will put forward. So I was called, and I went to the office to have the Conservative Association office here in Richmond Borough, and I had my interview. But when I walked in, that was when it hit me really this time that I really wanted this, because I saw other people being interviewed as well who really wanted it. And these were men, you know, wearing suits. And so the competitive person in me rose up, and I said, wow, this is something great. I shouldn't take it as something small. In fact, to even be chosen to come for this second interview in front of another panel is something really special. So I went into that interview, and I sat down, and then the questions were being asked and put forward, and I answered them, you know, as best as I could. I had done a little bit of research as well within for myself in terms of how to present myself at the interview and just to be myself, really, but to answer everything truthfully. And to answer, for example, one of the questions was, why would I want to be a counselor, and what would I be bringing, you know, to the table? So I based it on the pioneering spirit that really exists in my family. And I said, well, I come from a family of pioneers. And one of the things I said was my grandfather, James Chancellor Lumbwe, was born in 1889. In Zambia, around that area anyway, it wasn't called Zambia at that time. And he was educated with the London Missionary Society, the same people that brought Dr. David Livingstone. And he could read and write in English even before colonialism came. And he was a lay preacher. He became a medical officer. In fact, he wrote some of his research findings, you know, in terms of diseases and cures that were existing around that region. And he also fought with the King's African Rifles in the First World War. So that was, you know, really somebody who did something special. And he was medaled twice during that war, which was a British part of the army. So you see, the British link was already existing in our family even way back before I was even born. Yeah, and of course my mother, who did tremendous things as well. So it was an amazing interview.
Okay. Let's go to the, I'm interested in hearing, of course, about a lot of things. Let's go to the to the campaign. So you have to begin your campaign. And where did you start from? How did it go? What did you have to do?
Well, with campaigning, we were given training, of course, and I just gave myself the mindset and the attitude to learn. I was there to learn and to draw from the people who had the knowledge and the know-how in terms of campaigning. So that, I believe for anybody really, is one of the greatest things to success, is to learn from other people and be open-minded, because I went in there without really know, well, I had some knowledge about campaigning because I had done it for other people, but then I wanted to win. So I was in doing it to win, not to waste time or waste anybody else's time. So we did our training, and then we had to structure ourselves as a team in North Richmond in what we would do. And one of the things that I was really involved in was telephone canvassing. So that was a thing we started way back in November, because it was really cold. So going door to door, yes, we had to start doing it eventually, if rain, cold, sunshine, whatever was going on. But we did have a strategic plan anyway that we put in place.
Okay. Well, I mean, you are Zambian by birth, by origin. Can you share some thoughts about some things about the way politics come? You come from a political family, if I may say so. Can you share some thoughts about what you learned during the training to how to campaign, the actual campaign, and compare it to the Zambian scenario?
Well, that's really difficult comparing it to the Zambian scenario, because I haven't really been involved in, well, I've part of the political family, yes, I've got family that are ministers and in politics. My mother was involved in a lot of campaigning as well. She did quite a lot with the political parties and, of course, helped some people get to where they are politically. But the comparison, I would never really want to compare, because it's a totally different system. But here there is a lot of transparency in what you do. You have to be honest and upfront right from the beginning, and you have to really go for you have to understand that you are campaigning against another party. So anything, they can say anything, or and you have to be careful. Careful about what you put forward, how you project yourself, and give it a good fight. I mean, we did give it a good fight in terms of a lot of literature, because people read a lot, so we had to produce a lot of literature even concerning who we are and what we want to do for the community and the way forward. So we did that quite a lot, especially targeted literature about the community and our environment.
Okay. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're talking to Councillor Margaret Mwilabuta, who's...
Hello? 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 Yes, hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, I can hear you.
Yes,
I
can hear you now as well.
yes, sorry. I think Nathan's line, for some reason, I'd dropped. So
okay.
Maybe, yeah, we wait for him to come. But Mr. Bata, please describe to us your maybe if I can follow on what you've been discussing. How was it taken that a Zambian foreigner was elected in your region? How have the people taken it there?
Well, the people here, I'm sure, were really surprised as well because, of course, they have seen me around. I've lived in this community for 12 and a half years, and people do see families and everything. Of course, it's quite big, but you do tend to see certain people or the neighborhood or people. But I had a lot of support. I had a lot of support from my neighbors. From the people who knew what I was trying to do and from the Conservative Association. I had a lot of support from the MP, Zach Goldsmith. I mean, he was brilliant. And also some of the major Tories that I met, for example, William Hague, the Foreign Secretary, he was very supportive. And the amazing thing is they do remember people. Of course, I'm a Dutch national, but I love talking about Zambia because that's my country of origin. And when I met William Hague, the Foreign Secretary, at a dinner, at a function, he was really a brilliant politician because he remembered who I was. And when he came to our table, when he was doing the rounds, he said, "Oh, Margaret from Zambia." You know, that was really nice.
So that is another angle. I don't want to call that angle, but you've brought it yourself. You are a Dutch national, and now you are how does that work then? So you are not a national of Britain?
Well, I'm an EU citizen. So you can...
So if you're an EU citizen, you are allowed to stand as a councillor anywhere in Europe?
Yes, you are. You are. Of course, you'd have had to leave, like I would have had to leave here for quite some time. In the Netherlands,
okay.
a British person can stand for the local politics as well, local government politics, if they've lived there for 5 years.
Okay.
And then you can get into the political system. That's how the EU works. So it was really interesting for me when I thought of doing it and found out that actually I could stand, and I was just I felt really privileged. Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite interesting. If we were to talk about the area you are now responsible for, how many people are we talking about live in your... as a councillor, you control, what do you call them, a town? You control a town or...?
in the London Borough of Richmond upon Thames, the areas are called wards. And
Wards.
In our area, we have 18 different wards, and North Richmond is one of them. And each ward has three councillors, because there are a lot of people. So for North Richmond, as of their 2011 census, there are about 10,649 residents that live in North Richmond itself. And in terms of the overall borough of Richmond, there are about 187,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's as of the 2011 census. Yes, so it's quite a lot of people, because as a councillor, you are representing the people, the residents' concerns, their views, and not just concerns, but how to make this ward a really good place to live in, a better place in terms of the amenities, the roads, everything that goes with the community. And that is a war on ward level, but as a councillor, because we have a council, we sit in council, in the council chambers, there are other things that you do as well in terms of influencing overall policy, which I can't really go into detail because we also have our manifesto as a party that was brought out by the council leader that we want to do in the borough. Yes,
wow.
Because we have to look at it as a term.
My tentacles, Ms. Butter, are going up, very getting interested, because one of the things I've done over 5 years over here is to maybe complain. Let me put it in terms of complain about how our country is so dependent on Lusaka. That's about everything. And how here in Europe, in Canada where I am, nothing in America where he is, councils, they matter. You know, what they do in the council chambers matter. And we are trying by all means to begin to tell people in Kasama, in Chiengi, wherever the people are, you have to start to some kind of development have to come from yourselves. And not the central government. I'll follow up that with a question there for Ms. Bata. Have you been to Zambia of late?
I was there 3 years ago.
Okay, good.
And I was there, that was the time the Lord took my mom, and but I did stay in Lusaka. I did see the development that was going on in Lusaka. I mean, there's been a lot of improvement. I'm glad for the people who live there that there has been development. People are improving their homes, their livelihood. Although one of the noticeable things was it wasn't really structured properly because people could just develop anyhow. Where I don't know the councils there, how they run their planning policies, but that's got nothing to do with me. When I traveled, I did travel because I was doing research for my book, the first book I wrote, Prophetess Alice Lenshina, God's African Commander, Her Generational Blessings and Legacy. I traveled to Chinsali, and that was a 12-hour journey, the coach, which was... very strange because I've been out of Lusaka for nearly 20 years, out of Zambia. So it was very strange to travel 12 hours to another part of the same country and then to see that they hadn't been any rural development. And I've traveled extensively in Europe, and it's really beautiful the way they structure. They call them villages, for example, in the Netherlands. Outside the cities, there some places are called villages, but they're not villages as like the villages in Zambia. These are proper structured towns and places to live, and the road network was brilliant. It is brilliant there. So I was quite sad to see that half the time the coach was not on the road. It was, you know, and they had to drive on the side of the road just to avoid the potholes. Beautiful coaches, that part has developed very well, but it was really sad to see that. And when I arrived in Chinsali at the time, my goodness, it was beautiful town, picturesque. It's set in a valley, but there was no development at all. So that was really sad, and that's where local government is very, very important.
Yes.
Very important,
yes.
And they can work together with national policies in countries that need development. I believe because of what I've learned, even in a short space of time, and I really I am so grateful that I'm learning politics at the grassroots level. And really appreciate what the councils here do, the councillors, you know, the leader of the council and deputy leaders. I mean, it's a whole structure. The mayor is part of the council. What they do, and in terms of making the livelihoods of the communities work and better and be improved, and the amenities provided and policies, education, everything falls into that adult care, children. It's just amazing. So to going back to Chinsali to find it like that, it was strange. I don't know what to say. It was just strange. You know, like you've gone back in time. But then
it's such a
beautiful place. So I'm sure now, because it's Muchinga province and it's a district, I'm sure they are now trying to improve it, and hopefully they are putting up these structures. But, of course, here,
Not to take away, not to take you away from the British council where you have gone. I'm trying to steer you to get interested in what is probably going on in our country. As a council person, Maybe one day, Miss Margaret, you may have to consider maybe to go to begin to have a chat or begin some kind of a movement. I don't know. To just advise, I'm a local councillor in a borough in England. These are some of the things that they do. Maybe those who are visiting the UK, some of our mayors are visiting the UK, you could probably host them in terms of just to try to give them some of the information you are getting. My feeling is that this is an opportunity not only for you, but an opportunity for Zambia to learn from its own. If we hear a white man talk about these things, we are going to say, what does he know about our country? But you are from there. Maybe we may just have strike a jewel, Miss Margaret. That's my...
Well, I have been thinking about those things, and I can tell you last Saturday around 7:30 p.m., I received a phone call, and I was really surprised. It was the First Lady of Zambia. She was calling to congratulate me, yes. And I did tell her, oh, you've just made me cry, because it was such an unexpected and a beautiful thing for her to do. And so I was nicely surprised. And we did talk, and I just thought, you know what, great people always support great people. Successful people will always support success. So for me, that was her character, and I said, no wonder she's in the position. God has put her in that position to actually call me. You know, it wasn't the other way around that she was expecting my call. She called me to congratulate me. So that was really wonderful, and I did say that I'm really learning a lot and wondering why certain things have not been put in place, for example, in Zambia. And she said more or less what you have said. Perhaps one day you will be the one to come and tell us what, you know, you're learning and what to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's that was nice.
Yes. And we will definitely use this as a stepping stone. Some of us are not even involved, Ms. Bata, in local politics. But we have seen how councils, how independent sometimes they can be from the central government in some aspects. And I think that is the only thing which will develop your local area in Tinsadi, my local area in Kasempa, or others who come from Sinazongwe. That is the only thing. Nathan is back, Nathan. Thank God you dropped Nathan, and I had a discussion, a very good discussion with Mr.
It was actually very good, actually, because you asked, you asked the questions because you're on the ground, you are there, you are a counselor, and I can tell you one thing, there is a lot of work. There's a lot of work that goes into this, a lot of meetings. We have so many meetings, even as councillors, and most councillors have full-time jobs. Yeah, this is not, it's part of your work, but you spend pretty much more than 20 hours being a councillor, concerns about the residents, meetings, training, everything. Thank goodness things are digital now by email. You know, we get a lot of things on by email and coming through on our phones as well. But it is a lot of work, and it has to be done at grassroots level. You really can't compare what central government does and what the local government do. There is a difference. And one of the things we would ask when campaigning was what issues people are facing on the local level, and then would ask the question about the national level as well. And you get two different answers, and it's very diverse. That's why it's very, very important. And congratulations for the work that you're doing as well.
Excellent. Roger, thank you. I don't know technicalities. My phone just went crazy. Now, I think from what you're saying, Councillor Buta, it's that... you see, when we began this conversation, I've heard you say training so many times, training, training, training. I think there's a very huge gap. There's a very huge deficiency in people understanding grassroots politics. I mean, help us, the significance and the emphasis that is made there about grassroots politics.
Well, grassroots politics, really, you have to look at it. It's the people.
Uh-huh.
Where else would people live? People have to live in communities. Yeah, people have to live in their homes. People have to go. Have to have families. Families have schools. Yeah, children have to go to schools. That is all part of your local government. They have to make sure that these schools are running efficiently. You know, the focus is not just on where I live. Our state schools, the primary schools, they are brilliant, but it's a lot of effort from the parents, from the school government, because even a school has a governing body. And that was something I was part of, a primary school. I was a parent governor. That's maybe where I started my political career without realizing to become something more. But you have a governing body in a school as well. And these are all talented and gifted people coming together to govern that school, giving their time. It's a voluntary. You're not getting paid for it, but you're having meetings and implementing policies, the welfare of the children, other things as well, education, extracurricular activities. Everything is, you know, you're bringing what you can to the table and how to make the school environment a better place. Yeah, and from there, sometimes the counselors are also there, but you are the face of that school initially, including the parents, because I started by volunteering as a parent. But with local government, why it's so important, it's not just education. You've got adult care as well. How do you take care of the elderly people in the community? You know, it's not just about the family looking after them. You can put up structures to care for those people. They are people at the end of the day. They need help. Sometimes the help is not just helping people materially. Help is also where are they going to also have a life together with other elderly people in that community. Most of them are just staying alone at home or sitting in front of their house and have no one to talk to. What are you doing about that? That's where the local government comes in. But here, those things have been put in place. So it's just running them and making sure that those things are run properly. And there are men and women who have worked really hard and put up those things in these countries, you know, in the Western world. And that is just an amazing thing to see and to have the mind open to say, actually, there is a lot that you can do for the people, because a country is about the people. It's about the environment you live in.
It's true. One of the things that you and I talked about prior to this discussion or interview is the ability to, you've already alluded to it, the ability to care, provide, and have a deliberate policy and amenities in place for the vulnerable in society. Let's talk about the mentally disturbed, for example, in Zambia. I mean, we just see them roaming the streets and, you know, expression, I'm a shiru, and all those things. What should we do about things like that? Where does local government come into play in that situation?
Oh, well, it also depends. I mean, governments will tell you it's about money, 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 but you have to have structures for those people. They are human beings. They have found themselves in that situation. Sometimes it's different because of different related issues. And they need to be cared for. They need a place where they can go to be cared for rather than shunning them. And some of them can be integrated into society anyway. With proper care, proper structures in place, they can come back into alignment with who they should be and be cared for. But in terms of what should be done, that is something I'm also learning at the moment. So I'm not in the right position to say what can be done for Zambia. Perhaps when I've learned more and seen more, then like Councillor Roger said, Maybe that's something I could talk about. What people coming from Zambia, in terms of what can be done and the possibilities around the funding, because obviously you have to also put that in consideration. These things do require money. They do require funding. You have to be very clever to find the funding and source it. And that's before this interview, I was just thinking, I said, you know what? Zambia we've been given the copper mines by the grace of God. That is where the funding for all these things should have been coming from.
Yes.
Because that is an inherited grace for the people of Zambia. That was meant for the people of Zambia.
during your campaign, I'm going to take you a little bit backwards. What would you say was your most difficult challenge?
Campaigning started in November properly. December came. It gets really cold here. January, by February, going door to door. I mean, it wasn't just telephone conversing. We had to go door to door. I had other things going on that I had planned as well. So all those things were coming through. It was mostly time management and managing the time with the family as well, because it was very involving. And I was asking myself at one point, I said, why am I doing this? But I had to work it out, sit down, go in a quiet place and work it out within myself until I came to a good place where I had joy and I said, you know what, I've worked it out within myself why I'm doing this, and I'm just going to go for it. It's a privilege that it has been given to me to do. And when campaigning, one of the days, the MP came, it's called an action day, and he was there, and he asked me, he said, Margaret, how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm fine. It's just that I was asking myself, why am I doing this? And he just said one of the best things that really helped me. He said, Margaret, you'd have been really weird if you hadn't asked yourself that question. It's politics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I just said, well, fantastic. So, and I told him, I said, but I've worked it out within myself, so I'm okay to, you know, now everything is just, we're here now to win this. Yeah.
Okay. In as much as I hate to ask this question, I have to ask it. Did the issue of you being a woman, number one, number two, and a black person of African region, did that come up, or did you experience anything on those lines?
That is to be expected, and I believe adversity in any situation will make you go forward. Everybody in life needs a Goliath to get to a throne or to get somewhere. So if those things come around, they are just part of life, and you move forward. You don't make
That's
it an
right.
issue. Yeah, and if it does come, it spurs you on to say, you know what, I'm going to do this thing, no matter what it takes. And we've got role models in society who have gone through adversity and done great things. You learn from people, like I said, right from the beginning. If Barack Obama had cared about certain things, he would never have been where he is.
That's
yeah.
True.
So sometimes those things, it's never an issue. Yeah, I had a campaign to win. That was my focus. I was very focused. Yeah, I said I have an election to win. So no matter what comes my way, my main focus is to win that election. I'm in this thing to win. I'm not going to go out in the cold, in the rain, and do whatever it takes and not come out with anything. So always have a focus, have a goal. It doesn't matter. Adversity is part of life. And it's fantastic when it comes because it spurs you on. And adversity is not just from people. Sometimes it's whatever is going on in that particular moment that you'd think, oh, gosh, you want to stop what you're doing. No, that's when you're doing the right thing. Carry on.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's very important. We are talking to Councillor Margaret Mwilabuta of North Richmond in London. Those of you that would like to ask questions, I would encourage you to press 1 on your phone keypad so that I know that you have a question for Councillor Buta as we continue our discussion. Next week, I am going to do a World Cup roundup. I think I'm going to have my good friend Smarta and a few friends within the United States that have rounded up for us to talk about this and see what is happening. We'll reserve the World Cup question last for Councillor Buta about the demise of England.
Yes, hello?
Titus, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I'm here. This is Titus. Good afternoon, I think, for London. Congrats for your political and councillorship job you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Are you working in the City of London?
Am I what, sorry?
If you work for in the City of London, so I missed something.
Oh,
are you in
right.
The City of London? Or?
I live in the London Borough of Richmond upon Thames.
Okay.
So I'm a councillor for North Richmond in the London Borough of Richmond upon Thames. It's in the southwest of London.
Oh, okay.
It's a borough outside London.
I just wanted
you to
comment.
Let me cut your question first of all. I wanted to explain that language, councillor. What does that mean?
Of being a councillor?
No, I mean London, what did you say again?
I said the London Borough of Richmond upon Thames. Well, London is made up of different places, and most of these places are called boroughs. In the sense that it's, I don't know how to explain it related to Lusaka.
Relate it to New York. I think New York has boroughs.
Yeah, or a municipality, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe that would, different municipalities, because every borough will have a mayor. And then, of course, with the general London, with general, you have the mayor of London as well. But boroughs have their own municipalities as well. So, we live in the London Borough of Richmond. I don't know how to explain it related to Lusaka, really. I don't know.
Okay. I think with your question, we have run out of time. I would like to allow other people to ask as well.
Okay. My question is, in relation to the funding, when you look at Lusaka or any other city in Zambia, Chinsali you visited, what could somebody do? The copper mines are gone. You use the term initiative. You have to be smart to come up with funding. How would you explain that other than it being corruption? Because corruption can be looked at as the smart way to do things. What would you suggest for Zambia? No, not as a councillor, but what would you suggest for a mayor in Kabwe, Chinsali, to do in terms of funding for Zambia?
Well, if they really wanted to know, I would advise that question is asked through my email address, and perhaps that would be the best way to look at it, because I would not like to answer that question at the moment, because there are different ways of funding things, and that comes with your government. The government has to come up with the policy of funding as well. So that is related to funding from the government and the structures that have been put in place and the voluntary sector. And the voluntary sector is quite broad. This is where your charities come in, social enterprise, so many other things related to that as well. It works together. The government and the council cannot do it alone. They also have to rely on people, and people putting up structures in place that will work together with them, like the voluntary sector I mentioned, and that's quite broad. I've only mentioned two parts of that voluntary sector.
Okay. All right, thank you, Titus. Let's go to Zebron. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes. First of all, may I congratulate the councillor for, you know, for the election. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
My question was, my question was like, I mean, have you been following the Zambian politics like lately? And from your point, what would you want to see changed as with the Lusaka City and the operations of Lusaka City, if at all you've really been paying attention to how the city of Lusaka is being run, if you have any advice or something that you feel you would change if you were a councillor or the mayor of Lusaka compared to London and what you've seen there?
I believe education is a gift, and it is the best gift that you can give to anybody. So one of the things, like I said before, for the schools in Lusaka not to be neglected, it's parent help. You know, they need to involve the parents, and parents need to get involved. Most of the parents have a lot of gifts. Some are well-traveled, they're well-educated, they've gone outside or been educated in Zambia. They do have gifts to give. So they need to have that part of education which involves parents and what parents can contribute. Some are very good at sports. They can have a sports day that involves parents. They can have a school governing body, governors in schools implementing things. You know, in the state schools or state sector, government schools or private schools, whatever it is that people are doing, it doesn't matter. But education, I believe, once you educate people, people can do anything. And once you also make their educational time enjoyable, they can also aspire and do anything, because it's very important to give that to anybody, really. But in terms of other things, well, those things will come. I'm not going to focus on the negatives. There are a lot of positive things happening in Lusaka as well, I believe.
Thank you, Zebro. Let's take our last question from Pennsylvania. Daniel, please go ahead very quickly.
Yes, thank you, Councillor, and thank you, Zambia Rock Radio, for bringing Margaret to us. Because of time, Councillor, and I like the question, the answer you gave about parents getting involved in children's education. That was excellent.
Okay.
Because you are in touch with with the First Lady and the leadership. Because of time, I'd just like to. What do you think of dual citizenship? If you had to advise the leaders in Zambia, what do you think about dual citizenship? If you don't feel comfortable.
I think I will not answer that one. I do have my views on it, but I would like not to bring that in at the moment.
Okay. Thank you, Daniel, and everybody. Councillor Buddha, as we conclude, I am of the understanding that your new book is out. Can you tell us about that? What's the title and the general, what's the title of the book, and what are you addressing in the new book?
Okay. Thank you for that, Nathan. My new book, the second one that's coming out, this is a fiction novel. It's a novel for early teens. It's a crossover novel. I'm sure there'll be a lot of other people who want to read it. It's called African Prince Teen, Adventure in Africa, and it's about an African prince who takes his friends, an English boy and a Chinese boy. An American boy joins them to his African kingdom. They meet up with a girl from a Mystic tribe. They are the nerve center of the kingdom. They set up the kingdom under mysterious circumstances. They have all kinds of adventures together. They form a murder plot. They go into ancient caves. They have midnight escapers into ancient caves. They go on wild safaris. It just portrays African countries, perhaps as they should have been developed. They will be developed, I believe, going forward. And it's a book that really feeds the mind portrays people differently, portrays black people differently, gives a bit of an education as well in the book in terms of some of the great things that people in antiquity did, the black people in antiquity who are not really noted for having been from the black race, because those days people were not called black, white, or whatever. It was from the places where they originated from. So it gives that bit of history, and I'm really excited with this book because it will really inspire people to look at Africa differently, to look at the African continent differently, and children to look at Africa differently, because at the moment in the West, most children grow up thinking Africa is poor. But I always say, but we didn't grow up poor. Africa is not poor, and Africa is not a country. It's a continent with different countries, and poverty in each and every country is different, and there are norms and values in different countries that, you know, make up the people in those areas. So I'm really excited, and I just really believe that this book should be in every child's hands across the board, and for the children in Zambia, it would be great. I mean, we're feeding their minds. We're making them imagine. I've given them a hero and a heroine who are black. You know, they can empathize with, they can relate to, they can say, oh, my goodness, even I can be like that. I can do this. I can aspire. I can dream. I can imagine. And through imagination comes a lot of things. And they are the future. They are the future generations. They are the future who will see whatever we can set up now in terms of development. They are the future who will also be bringing out more things, more inventions, more development. Why not?
That's right. Is it available on Amazon, or how can people get a copy of it, a hold of it?
We're going to put it on Kindle for Amazon probably next week, and also the hardback copy will be on Amazon. We are creating a website, and the website will be called AfricanPrinceTeam.com. It will be available as well on my own website. I'll post all that on Facebook. But it was really, it's a very interesting story, and it will be available in all these places, which very soon. It's called African Prince Team Adventure in Africa. So we are setting up, but the book is ready, and to get that book ready was really a very special journey, because the provision came from everywhere, from South Africa, from Zambia, from here, to just get that book printed and out there. So it's a miracle book and a faith book, so I'm quite pleased with that.
We do thank you for taking the time to join us. Our prayers are with you. You make Zambia proud.
Thank you very much.
We know you are going to succeed because the Lord is on your side.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
You will definitely be calling upon you to discuss a lot of other things. You know, you are part of this forum.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I hope people are inspired. the listeners are all inspired. Everything is possible. Yeah, and sometimes it's good to get out of the comfort zone and do something. Do something, because it's about, for me, serving the community that I'm in, bringing something special back to the community, because they've given. Now it's my time to give back as well. That's why, you know, sometimes we're placed in other places, other geographical places. It's about giving back. Because we enjoyed a lot from this country, so it's time to give back in this way. So it's a privilege, and I'm very, very grateful for it.
Welcome, everybody. That was our show, Counselor Margaret Mwilabuta. She's on Facebook if you want to follow what she's doing and her career. We're going to have a World Cup roundup, and I said to my good friend Roger, have a safe trip. We shall definitely miss you, but we'll try to catch up with you. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. World Cup games. Tawizonse alikumova kuzipenta wiyo na kubanja ku.
mwana ako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumu follow ama ama inei niziwanda zota nizi taeza talema na yo mapempelo atika pena siku lina azati kumbukila oye chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse basowe saulemu atate mwe